question. Also want to remind you that next week, we are starting our college to career class. It's called Transitioning from College to Career with Passion and Purpose. And so if you've never taken that class before, it's myself and Steve Chin and Raymond Louie, all three of us, we teach that class, and it's a great, great, great class. And so if you've been, you know, about to graduate, or you've been out in the working field for a couple years or so and never have taken this course from us, it starts next week, and so there'll be more information in the bulletin. Also next week is we have a special announcement about our partnership with World Vision. So I'll just kind of leave it at that, all right, to get your interest piqued. But we're going to make a special announcement next week. So to have an announcement about an announcement next week is pretty special, right? So you don't want to miss that, okay? So if we could, let's just all stand up, and would you just greet the people around you this morning, and then we will dive into the Word. All right, wonderful, wonderful. We're starting a new series today called How to Hear from God. One of the basic tenets of Scripture is that God communicates with us. And if you're going to have a relationship with God, then God needs to speak to you, and you need to speak to God. Now, one of the things about communication is that the problem with communication, right, is that it can be easily misunderstood. Would we all agree with that? With people, much less God. When Angel speaks to me, sometimes even when I hear her, I'm not listening. Now, that's very rare for that to happen, okay? And even when I'm listening hearing, I may not fully understand what she's saying, and vice versa. So we've been married for over 15 years, and we still have communication issues. But let me just tell you, it's gotten better over time. I've learned, and she has learned, for us to better understand each other. So it gets better over time. But there's still room, after almost 15 years of marriage, for miscommunication. So let me just give some advice to our young men, you know, our newlyweds, okay? There are three things that you got to understand about women, but no one knows what they are. Now, I deeply love my wife, okay? And from time to time, we have communication issues, problems, and it's frustrating. So certainly, I should expect the same type of miscommunication that can happen in my relationship with God, right? Especially, right, given the fact that the number one metaphor that the Bible uses to describe the relationship between God and the believer is marriage. So we're going to have some communication issues. And so hearing from God is a bit challenging at first, but I'll tell you this, it gets better over time. You know, when I pick up the phone, I don't need to look at my caller ID to know that it's Angel speaking on the other line. I know her voice, right? After 15 years of marriage, I know how she thinks. I can kind of guess how her opinion on certain things. In fact, sometimes I can even hear her voice in my head, like what she's saying about certain things of like what I might wear or what I might do or something like that. After 24 years, I can't believe it, 24 years of walking with Christ now, I just know when he's speaking to me. I just clearly know when he has a special word for me. I know his voice. I know when he's speaking to me. And I used to, in my first couple years of becoming a Christian, it was very complicated. I used to have questions like, you know, if you felt something from God, I would just immediately begin to doubt. I would immediately begin to question and say, is this really from God? How do I know? Is this something that I heard from another pastor say? Is this something that a thought that my friend, you know, put in my idea? Is this something I got from TV, you know? Is this coming from a place of pure motivation? But now it's just gotten easier. Through practice and through time, hearing from God has just become easier, just like it gets in marriage. Now, a question that immediately people ask me when you talk about hearing from God is, have you ever heard God speak to you in an audible voice, right? No. The answer is no. I've never heard God speak to me in an audible voice, and yet there are some thoughts and conversations that I've had with God that were as clear as a bell. And so one of the issues is that, you know, hey, God doesn't really need to speak to you through an audible voice. Why does he need to do that if he can speak directly to your mind? And so, kind of like in this room right now, right? There are radio waves, there are cell phone waves, there's Wi-Fi waves, there's HDTV going through waves, going through this room right now, right? You could take a microscope out, but you can't see it. But it doesn't mean they don't exist, right? What you have to do in order to get those waves and get the information is you have to learn how to tune in. And so that's kind of what this series is about, is how do we tune in? How do we begin to really hear from God? And so this series is meant to be a very practical series on how to tune in, how to hear from God, just in a very practical way. So if you could, turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And we're going to look at these amazing, amazing verses on how God speaks to us today. So Hebrews chapter 1. And this is chapter 1, verse 1. This is how the writer opens up this amazing book and just an amazing way of how God speaks to us. So this is what it says. He says, "In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways." And when we read that, we say, yeah, God did. He spoke very clearly in the past. Right? We think of the Old Testament, we think, wow, God spoke so loud and clear. We think, wow, we remember the story of Moses and God speaking to Moses through a burning bush. I wish God would speak that clearly to me like he did, you know, back then. That would get my attention. God spoke to Abraham through an angelic visit. That would get my attention. In the book of Numbers, God speaks to Balaam through a donkey. Right? I mean, why doesn't God do that today? I mean, I have my husband, you know, that's kind of close, right? But we tend to think of God speaking. We tend to think of that God did his clearest speaking and his miracles and got our attention in the past, right? We look at the Bible and look at the Old Testament. It's like he was really loud and clear then. But look what the writer says. He says, in the past, right, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times in various ways. The next word, but in these last days, which means the last days, he's talking about the time that he wrote it in the first century up until now, presently, into the future. These are the last days. So in these last days, in these times right now, God has done something different. Okay? So in these last days, he has spoken to us. God has spoken to us by his, what? By his pastors. Yeah, God could speak through pastors, right? Hopefully God is speaking through me today. God is going to speak through creation. Romans chapter 1 and 2 talk about God speaking through general revelation, through his creation, through the beauty of what we see. Absolutely. But he says God has spoken to us primarily. All those things are good. But God has spoken to us primarily through his Son. Through his Son. That God has spoken to us in a new way, that it's not just God speaking a message, that Jesus delivered a message, but he's saying that Jesus is the message, that Jesus' attitude, that his emotions, that his relationship, that his life, his ethic, his ministry, that his very being is God speaking. And Jesus is not speaking a partial message, right? He's the full message of salvation, abundance in life, redemption, and the kingdom. Everything that God wants us to know about him is found in Jesus. Now, that might sound a bit abstract first, right? God speaks through his Son, right? That might sound abstract a little bit, but let me just try to make it a little bit more real. It's kind of like this. Maybe you're a Christian, and you have some sin that's in your life, and it's kind of like over and over again. It's something that you keep going to. You keep going to it for two reasons. Number one, you kind of like it. But number two, also, you feel like you can't help it in some way, right? And maybe at some times, you feel really crushed by the weight of this sin. And you even wonder and feel like, does he still forgive me? 70 times, it's just really hard for me to say, but you know, does he still forgive me? Does he still receive me? Does he still love me? How does then God speak to us by his Son? Well, if you look at the Son and you look at his life and what he did, and if you see the cross, if you see the cross, and you're in that place where you feel defeated, see, when you see the cross, you understand that God loves you. That God understands the predicament that we're in. That God even understands when we act foolishly and we do things that are not in line with what we truly want to do, what we truly want to be. And yet we can be so down in ourselves. And yet if you allow God to speak, his life speak, and you look at his cross and say, you know without a doubt that God loves you, that Jesus died for you, that even when we're still stuck in our sin, even as believers, and it's you're 10, 15 years down the line, you think, oh, I should be done with this. And Jesus says, I still love you, still understand, I still forgive, and I do not condemn. You need to allow God to speak to you in that way. Let's go on. He says, whom he appointed heir of all things. He's talking about Jesus. And through whom he also made the universe. I love this. The sun is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Everything you want to know. Jesus is everything that God wants us to tell us about God, about salvation, his plan, about his purpose for you, and about his purpose in this world. Sustaining all things by his powerful word. And so this is so important because this really challenges the way that we typically think about scripture and about what we read in the Bible. Typically, we do look back. We look back at the Old Testament and say, I wish that God would speak as clearly and do as miraculously as he did in the Old Testament. I wish he would do that in my life today. And the writer's saying, no, you got it all backwards, because he creates a contrast. He's saying, but, right? He's saying, in the ancients, God spoke to people through a limited number of prophets, right? A limited number of mediators, and their message wasn't fully complete. Just imagine if all you had for scripture, right? All you knew about God was just, let's say, the Old Testament. Let's say that's all you had. You wouldn't even know the name of Jesus, right? And so the writer is saying that God has spoken to us in a radically innovative new way, and that is in the fullness of his son. And so the first thing on your outline is that God speaks primarily through his son. God speaks primarily through his son, and he's speaking all the time. And so as the writer says, since today God has spoken in a clearer and more direct way, then what that means is that the issue is God speaking, because he is, right? The issue is then, am I listening? The issue is, am I listening? God is speaking regularly, but am I listening? That's why the writer in Hebrews would go on to say in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15, today, if you hear his voice, why? Because today, God could speak. This is important. Today, if you hear his voice, because today, God just might speak. Not that God speaks once every year or every couple of years, but he might even speak to some of you, to many of you today, right now, in this message, he may speak. So today, it's really important, if you hear his voice, because God can speak, do not harden your hearts. So if you hear God speak, there's one thing he says I want you not to do, is don't harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. See, one of the reasons that we're a bit resistant to hearing God's voice is because we're afraid of what he might say. We're maybe afraid of what he might call us to do. And we're afraid that if we hear clearly from God, maybe we're gonna disobey, and then we're really on the hook, right? Well, don't worry about all those things. Don't worry about all those things, okay? What's important when you think you're hearing from God is, number one, don't harden your hearts. Don't just automatically reject it. We're going to talk a little bit more about that next week, right? But it says, don't harden your heart. You need to keep your heart open. The point is to enter into the conversation that might be happening with God. What does that require? That requires an open heart. You've got to practice having an open heart if you want to hear from God. That's why in the Bible, it says that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. This is the one consistent practice that you see in all four Gospels, that Jesus went to some quiet places and prayed. He communicated with God by learning how to tune out all the static in life in order to hear the voice of God. Another way to put it is this, is that God speaks on the channel of silence. God speaks on the channel, like a radio channel, like a TV channel. God speaks on the channel of silence. It's not his only channel. It's not the only way that God speaks, but it's a very basic way that God speaks. It's a very frequent way that God speaks is in silence, is that when you quiet yourself and quiet your spirit and calm down, take out all the static that's around us in life and all the things that we have to do, and just be quiet before him. One of the things that I do often as I go on a silent prayer retreat, I just need to do this. I'll take an afternoon off, or I'll do a half day or something, and sometimes I'll take a couple of days, and I just have my Bible, I'll have a devotional book, and that's all I need. And I just try to get quiet, settle down in my soul, and just learn how to open my heart. And some of you might say, well, you know, that's you, Pastor Roy. You know, I don't really have time like you do to go and do things like that. Hey, I'm just as busy as you are, right? And plus, you have vacation days, right? And you have sick days, right? That's how you went to see the Super Bowl parade, right? That's how you got off of work, right? See, I can't do that, right? Jesus is my boss. I can't take sick days like that. So if you really want to, right, how important is it for you to hear from God? How desperate are you for his voice? How much do you really want and need his guidance? And you'll make the time. You'll make the time. How important is it? Because God wants to speak with you, primarily through his son. Now, the second way to hear from God is that God speaks through his word. God speaks through his word. And the writer of Hebrews would go on to say in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of that heart." And like you're like, wow, that doesn't sound very pleasant, right? Someone ramming a sword through your joint and maybe separating your joint. Well, don't think about it as a sword. Think about it as a scalpel. Think about it as surgery. You know, if a doctor comes to you and says, we did an MRI and you've got a golf ball-sized tumor in your head and we need to open it up, you don't say, wow, that sounds really painful. I don't think I want to do that. You say, when can we start? When can we take it out, right? And it also says that God's scalpel, right, it's like it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Just underline that in your Bible. God's word judges. Whenever God's word judges, when he speaks to you, sometimes when he speaks to you, even when he's being a little critical or a little bit of, you sense a little bit of judgment, it's always meant as a sign and as a gift of grace, because he's always seeking to turn us back to him. I just remember before I became a Christian, during high school, I was starting to become more and more of a seeker. And one of my really good friends, she became a Christian, just out of the blue, out of nowhere. She just became a Christian. And one time she asked me, she gave me a Bible, and she said, Roy, why don't you read the Bible? And she said, why don't you read the book of Revelation, okay? So my very first experience of reading the Bible was the book of Revelation. I know, people always ask me, what book should you start with reading the Bible? We talk about John or Matthew or Luke, right? Well, my friend said, Roy, you need to read Revelation, okay? So that was my first experience with the Bible. But the reason she said that was because during that time, I was really into role-playing games, you know, RPGs like Dungeons and Dragons and Ultima Online, things like that. And so it's like, she said, yeah, you've got to read this really amazing book. It's about the end times, and there's dragons in there. I'm like, okay, you had me at dragons, right? And so how could I pass that up? So I ended up reading the whole book, all 22 chapters, and it was amazing. I'll tell you, it did not disappoint for a high schooler. And half the stuff, I did not understand what I was reading. But the imagery was so crazy, all this judgment and things like that, and so you kind of have to use your own mind to try to interpret what's going on. But what was so amazing was out of all 22 chapters, I thought I would be, really interested in the dragon and so forth, but what struck me the most, what made the biggest impression was chapter 21, just incredibly unexpected. But chapter 21, if you ever read Revelation, it's about the new heaven, and it's about the new earth. And this picture of God wiping away every tear, that there's no more pain, no more injustice, no more sin, that God is making all things new. That imagery just blew away my imagination. And at the time, I wouldn't have used those words that God spoke to me. But I knew at that time that I was having thoughts I never had before, emotions, you know, I never had before. These thoughts that I saw for the first time how broken our world was and that I was part of that. And if there's one ending that would be good, it would be that of the new heaven and new earth. That place felt like home, home I wanted to be a part of. God speaks to even non-believers through his word. And so God's word is one of the clearest and most direct ways that he speaks to us. But really important is this. I don't want you to have a relationship with this word. I don't want you to have a relationship with this book. Okay? At SCAC, we're all about relational depth with God. I want you to have a relational depth with God first. Because I know a lot of people who have a depth with this, who are related to the book, but they don't have necessarily a relationship with God. And so I want you to have a relationship, deep relationship, spiritual, relational depth with God first so that he can speak to you through the word. Does that make sense, church? Okay? All right. Third one is that God speaks to us. He speaks through his spirit. God speaks through his spirit. When God speaks his word, through his word, I'm reading something external that guides me then internally. When God speaks through his spirit, it's his spirit in me. It's an internal thing in me that's prompting me. Romans chapter 8, verse 16 gives a description here. For his Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we are God's children. Now, honestly, this is the area where things get to be a little bit more difficult. Things get to be a little bit more complicated. It's where trial and error and practice, it makes all the difference in the world. And next week, I'll dive into this conversation more of how do I know if what I just received is from God? How do I figure that out? That's what we're going to talk about next week, okay? But for now, it's enough to know that there's great mystery and there's great adventure and there's this great destiny in the ways that God will want to speak to you. You've got to be able to hear from God and know it's from God in order to walk into the life that he has for each of you. Just an example here. On my second mission trip to China, one of the clearest ways that God spoke to me through his spirit, when we were in China, we always have these prayer walks, okay, we do throughout the city. And so we split up into four teams. The city that we went to was kind of laid out like an H. And so we split into four teams, and we prayer walked throughout to the four corners of each city, and then we all kind of met back in the middle over this bridge with this big river that ran through the city. And as we got back to the center, and I was just, you know, my head, we're just, you know, looking over the bridge and just praying for the city, I just heard God say, he said, as I was looking at the river, he says, look at the power of that river. That is my love for the people in this city. And I was just like, you know, looking at the river, just the power, a lot of white water, you know, coming through, and it was wide. I was like, God, that's just amazing. Father, your love is amazing. Your love is so beautiful. Your love is so big. Your love is so wide, and it's so powerful. And then he continued the conversation, and he said, well, you know what? As powerful as that river is, my love and grace, it's all being stopped up. It's like a big dam. There's like a big dam in this city. That's what's happening here. And in that moment, my heart just broke. It's kind of like World Vision, the founder of World Vision. He said his famous prayer is, break my heart for what breaks yours. Isn't that such a gift to commune with God, to know what are the things that break his heart? There are a lot of things that I give to God that break my heart. And God wants us to give all our brokenness to him, the things that sadden us, the things that depress us, right? Absolutely. The Bible tells us to do that. But I think it's such a gift to be able to commune with God and to sometimes know what breaks his heart. Because sometimes the things that break my heart, you know, they're like the rich people problems, right? Oh, God, my, you know, 30-year fixed mortgage is at 5% and everyone else is at 3. Please help me, oh God of, you know, financial, you know, please help me, something like that, right? We pray for things, right? What are the things that really break the heart of God? You get to understand that as you commune and discern from the Spirit. And so from that experience, you know, I just know that we need to keep doing this. We need to go back. We need to keep sending teams, keep sending where God tells us to go. I mean, it's been 10 years. Look at what God has done. It's amazing. Another time I can think of was I woke up right in the middle of the night, and I just began staring at my wife. I just began staring at Angel. And I just started just thanking God. I just started saying, God, thank you for an amazing wife. Gosh, we have two amazing kids, Mason and Mia. And so I got up, and I went into Mason and Mia's room, right? I just kind of sat on their bed, and I just kind of stared at them. Sorry if this sounds weird, you know. But this is pretty normal for a dad, okay? And, you know, you just look at their faces, Mason and Mia, and they're so peaceful. And you could never imagine how you could ever be angry with them, right? When they're awake, you can imagine them. But when they're asleep, you know, you just have that moment where it's kind of unguarded, right? And you just think of all the love and adoration you have. And I heard God speak in that moment. You know, the way that you love them, could it be that the way that you love and adore them is just an echo? It's just an echo of the way that I love and adore you. And you're like, wow, God, really? You could really love me that much? God, it's so good. It's so cool then to be alive. So good to be your child. It's so awesome that you could have that type of love and affection for me. Now, can I prove that was the voice of God? I can't. I'm infallible. I could be up, you know, could be something I ate last night. I don't know, right? But it's in line with what the scripture says. What's the scripture that I just read? It says, for the Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we are God's children. That means one of the things that the Holy Spirit, I mean, this is scripture here. One of the things that God wants to do in your life is to confer your identity so securely that deep would speak to deep, that to know who you are is that you're securely centered as a child of God. Amen? That's good stuff, church. We need that. Now, again, this gets complicated. What I want to say is this, is that we're not always going to hear from God about every single thing in our life, every single little detail, and sometimes even some of the big decisions that you're facing in life. Sometimes you're not going to get that kind of guidance that you want. Sometimes he's silent. And when it's silent, sometimes we wonder, God, did I do something wrong? Right? God, are you still there? Right? Do you exist? Right? Sometimes the Spirit won't speak about certain things because God wants you to make the decision. Because God wants you to make the choice. He wants you to take everything that you know about God, everything you've read, everything that your TG has told you, given you wise counsel. God wants you to be responsible to make the best decision. And if we're honest, okay, it's just something we got to search your heart. If you're honest, sometimes the reason we want God to speak really clearly is because we're afraid to make the decision. It's because this decision of some responsibility there's so much anxiety around it. There's so much choice around it. There's so much responsibility around it. We just want God to kind of make the decision for us and give us the right way, give us the right path, right? But God's not going to let him use him. God's not going to allow you to use him that way. One of the things that God is trying to develop in us is he wants us to be broad-shouldered sons and daughters. He wants us to be able to stand on him firmly by knowing him, knowing his character. And sometimes that's going to take risk. It's going to take responsibility. And sometimes we want to offload that responsibility. There's a story about a CEO. He takes on a new job. And as he's taking on his new job, the retiring CEO gives him some advice. And he says, hey, you know, there's going to be times where you're going to make mistakes in this job. And so when you make mistakes, I've left 3 envelopes in the top drawer. 3 envelopes. So when you make one mistake, take one envelope out. You have another mistake, take the second envelope out, and so forth, okay? So everything goes really well for the new CEO, and everything's going well. But then he makes his first mistake. And so he goes to his envelope, and he opens it up, and it says, blame me. Blame me, so the old CEO. So he goes and he, you know, to the board and stuff, and he says, well, it's the old CEO. He made decisions. It's his fault and so forth and everything. Everyone says, okay. And then he goes on for a while again, and then finally he makes, everything goes well, but then he makes a second mistake. And so he goes and he opens up the envelope, and it says, blame the board. Blame the board. So it goes really well. He goes and he blames the board. He says, well, it's the board. Our board is dysfunctional and so forth. And, you know, everyone says, okay, that makes sense. And so it goes on again, the third envelope, because he makes another mistake, and he opens up the third envelope, and it says, make three envelopes. Okay. Wasn't funny enough. Okay. Here's the point. There's no way to learn. There's no way to learn except by choosing. And there's no choice that you can make in life without risk. And there's no risk that you can ever experience without having the possibility of failure. And there's no failure that doesn't include pain. If you're going to hear from God, right, it's not just about you reducing your anxiety in the choices that you have to face in life. It's about you becoming the person that God intended you to be. That means very often God is going to say to you in some of the tough choices in life, says, I want you to choose. I want you to choose. I want you to be wise. I want you to get good counsel. You choose, and I will be in the mix of all of that. And so what's important to remember is this, is that when there are times when the Spirit is silent, even about some of the big things in your life, is to remember this, is that my ability to hear God on any given day does not change my position in Christ one bit. Let me say that again. My ability to hear God on any given day does not change my position in Christ one bit. That means even if you can't hear from God about something that you feel like you desperately need, doesn't mean God loves you any less. You're still his beloved. You are secure. You're his chosen child. All right. Last one. God speaks to you through community. He'll speak to you through your community. Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. God speaks wisdom and guidance through the people around you. And for many of you here, raise your hand if you're married couples. Okay, awesome. A lot of them, right? Now, I know it's hard to believe, right? But for many of you here, God is going to speak through your spouse. All right? And I also know that outside of my own TG, out of my own small group, there's no one who speaks to me more truth and grace than Angel. Nobody speaks like that more than her. Your community is your gift. If you're part of a TG, it's a gift. That's why TGs are so important in how we're developing disciples here. And so next time you're in your small group, right, and someone really needs counsel, one of the best things that you can do is just say, you know, you don't have to, don't interrupt the person, but at the right time, just say, you know what, let's just take a moment because this person needs counsel. You know, I don't have all the answers. The person doesn't have all the answers. That's why they're presenting it to their group. But let's just pray, and let's just invite the Holy Spirit into the conversation. Just one of the most honorary things that you can do. And it's a faith statement saying God can actually use us. We might not even know it. You may not even feel it. So many times God has spoken to me through other people. They didn't even know. That's what I needed to hear. So we're going to spend the next couple of weeks on this topic, but let me just leave you with three reasons of why it's important to hear from God. Because some of you might say, well, I don't think, you know, I haven't heard from God in a long time. Or I'm not even sure I've really had an experience where I heard from God, and I'm doing just fine. To which God might be saying to you, you're in denial, okay? No, but why is it important to hear from God? Number one, it confirms your relationship with God. Why is it important to hear from God? It confirms your relationship with God. The invitation to hear from God is an invitation to relationship. And so if you're not hearing from God on a regular basis, again, we believe in relational depth with God. That means you have a very intimate, you have a deep friendship or relationship with Jesus. And if that's going to happen, that you need to be hearing from God regularly, he needs to be speaking to you regularly, you need to be hearing from him, and you need to speak to him regularly. Okay? So if you're not hearing from God regularly, then you have to question a bit, how deep or how shallow then is my relationship? So to hear from him confirms your relationship with him. The second one is that he guides. He guides. God has a general will for you, and he also has a very specific will for you. And just like every snowflake is different, every single person has their own unique DNA. And there are some things in this world that only God, that only you can do, because God has chosen you to do it. And the last one is because his voice imparts grace. God's voice imparts grace. It's what I call sustaining grace. Usually when we hear the word grace, we tend to think of it as a characteristic of God, that God is very graceful, and so we should be very graceful. Let's forgive others. Let's, not have a short fuse. Let's just be really open and forgiving with people. That's not what I'm talking about, okay? What I'm talking about is more like, if some of you have a Catholic background, right? Some of you know that by taking communion or going to service, that they actually believe that God imparts this grace to us. It's this life-sustaining, sustaining packet of, I don't know what you call it, blessing or energy, where it's he sustains you with hope, this energy for hope, for inspiration, for joy, that God is actually imparting grace at that moment. Hearing the voice of God, it's the closest thing that I know to receiving that kind of grace for your soul. When you hear from God, when you get a word from God, there's a connection and an intimacy unlike anything else on earth. It's a grace that's satisfied, that fills the soul tank. If you're not hearing from God, you're going to get to empty really soon. And for some of you, that's why this series is so important for you, because you're running really low on grace. And maybe you come to Sunday, you fill it up, right? But long term, it doesn't work. You need to learn how to fill your own tank. You need to learn how to go get your own gasoline and not just depending on one person on a Sunday to fill it up for you. It's kind of like, what if I gave you a diet plan, right? And the diet plan is Monday through Saturday, just fast, and then on Sunday, pig out, right? That'd be a horrible plan, right? Our bodies would just begin withering away. Just be a horrible plan. But that's how some of us do it. Some of us, there's no spiritual food at all during the week, and then Sunday, we try to pig out. We need to learn to receive his grace by regularly following Jesus, by read, study, meditate, memorize his word, listening to the Spirit, and getting wisdom from your community. And it's so encouraging to know, okay, it's so encouraging to know that God is speaking, that God speaks to us regularly. He's speaking to us regularly. We just need to learn to turn in. He's innovated unlike any other time in history where he sent Jesus, and the Spirit of God resides in our hearts. And so it comes back to the question, are you listening? Are we listening? And so let's listen this week for how the Spirit of God could speak to us. All right, church, let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much, Father, for this morning. And thank you for this new series that we continue to embark in. And I know for many of us here that hearing from God can be a scary thing, can be a really intimidating thing. But I pray, Father, that we'd also see it as an opportunity, as an adventure, an invitation to know the heart of God, to hear from God, to get guidance, to hear from God, to get wisdom, to hear from you, to get conviction of the person you're calling us to be and the sin in our lives also that's holding us back from that. And God, it's also an invitation for formation, that we might be changed, that our hearts would actually begin to know and break for the things that break your heart. Because there's a lot of things that I know that break our heart. There's a lot of things that we get caught up into and the things that kind of stir our mind over and over again that sometimes just aren't that healthy and maybe are not as big a deal as you see it. And sometimes all it takes, Lord, is just that one word. It's just that one small word in that still small voice that sets everything right, that fills our lives, that restores our hearts, that gives us hope for the day. Father, I pray, Lord, that we would be a church here that has just a great relational depth with you, that we're hearing from you on a regular basis. And there's some people here, Father, this morning that really are desperately, desperately needing a word, but they don't know how to get it. They don't know how to hear it. And so, Father, I pray today that there's just given some really practical steps on how to begin hearing from you. And it begins with knowing you, begins coming into a relationship with you and knowing who you are and knowing, understanding your life and your attitudes and your relationship and your being. And I pray that some people here today, even maybe they've never done this before, but they're going to take that moment to be really quiet. They're going to take 10 minutes in the morning or, I don't know, 10 minutes in the evening or during their break at lunchtime. They're just going to sit with the word and maybe just read a verse or two and just be silent and be open and not harden their heart. And they'll actually take that first adventure, that first step to say, God, I desperately want and I desperately need to hear from you, for your word gives grace and life. And I pray, Father, that there'll be many, Father, who need to hear that, who do that actually this week. So we thank you, Father, that you are God that speaks. You're a God, Father, that gives hope, Father, and grace. And we want to always be open to that and receive that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, church. Let's all stand and sing.